This morning, the readings from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is in the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. He also said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field, which someone found hidden. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? He asked. The crowd answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure that which is new and that which is old. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The reading today from Romans includes some very comforting words written by Paul. I've always liked the verse, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. This verse was never intended to mean that everything always works perfectly all the time for people who believe in God. I told Margaret I wanted to see what else I could learn about this passage. I've learned lots about prayer and the will of God, which I hope to pass on to you. Part of the learning was reading the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, by Rabbi Harold Kushner. I recommend it, and you'll hear more about it today. Another book I discovered is Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I Love by Kate Bowler. In Kate's book, I learned about the Prosperity Gospel Church. It is the denomination that TV evangelists, for example, usually belong to. The people who tend to subscribe to it believe that when bad things happen, it's always the fault of the person suffering. They didn't give enough money, pray enough, or believe enough. It's a sad way to live because it encourages people to blame themselves and creates guilt where there is no reason for it. It also doesn't teach them to accept responsibility if necessary and or move on and do what is needed to go on with life with God's help. Conversely, it doesn't teach people that when good things happen, to thank God and anyone else who helped them. After all, God works through not only our friends and family, but all sorts of ways. Everyone has trials and tribulations in their lives. Loved ones dying, losing jobs, getting sick, are just a few things that come to mind. We need to ask God, who can help us through the trials, and have faith. How do we do that? Well, this passage can help. As Rabbi Kushner explained in his book, a bullet has no conscience, and neither does a malignant tumor or a flood that carries away and destroys homes suddenly. That's why people who love God get sick and get hurt, just the same as anyone else does. God doesn't interrupt the working of the laws of nature to protect anyone from harm. The unchanging character of these laws, which makes medicine and astronomy possible, also include gravity, which can make people and objects fall. There are no exceptions for anyone. God doesn't cause bullets to hit, and he can't stop it. The term acts of God refers to natural disasters such as earthquake, hurricanes, and tidal waves. Really, the act of God is the courage the people affected by these awful tragedies take to rebuild their lives and the help they receive to do so. God gives us strength and courage when we suffer. We can't control everything that happens to us. What we can do is control how we react and try to get past the very natural and reasonable question, why did it happen? And ask the question, what do I do now? This is where faith can serve us. We can pray for guidance, wisdom, and strength to carry on and or accept the circumstances. All we have to do is ask. There are unforeseen events of our own making, and I speak for myself here. I've made, well, more than one faulty decision. I've also learned to take responsibility, sometimes at least, and think, I knew what I was doing and I did it anyway. God doesn't interfere with our will to do right or wrong. It's one of the things that makes us human. So, how do we deal with all this? In verses 26 and 27, Paul refers to the Spirit helping us in our weakness. The Spirit is us who belong to Christ. What he means is that, because of our being human, we don't know what to pray for. And the prayers we should offer are offered for us by the Holy Spirit. A New Testament scholar named C.H. Dodd has a lovely definition of this. Prayer is the divine in us appealing to the divine above us. Do we even know our own real needs and the needs of others as God sees them? And more importantly, do we know God's will with regard to these things? I agree wholeheartedly with you if this is an overwhelming idea. Then what are we supposed to be doing when we pray is my question. There is help in this from the Spirit. Prayer and communion with God makes it a joint activity of the Spirit and us. Continue praying in your very own style. That's just fine. The praying this is referring to is when we are overwhelmed and struggling with our minds going blank, or as it's written much more poetically, with sighs too deep for words. Just when we need all the words we have in our vocabularies to give to God, for ourselves or someone else in our lives, and can't find them, the Spirit is praying for us, interceding on our behalf to God, praying the words we so desperately want but can't find. The moral of this is whatever we say in our prayers, God knows what's in our hearts. This is part of what I learned. I hope all of you find it as positive as I did. Verses 24 and 25, just before the gospel reading today, illustrates why we pray. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. As St. Augustine wrote, faith is to believe what you don't yet see. The reward for this faith is to see what you believe. It is a lovely example of prayer and faith. We can be open to the will of God in our lives, to trust Him. I think that is what is meant by all things work together for the good of those who love God. Your will be done is a great way to end a prayer and help lead us in acceptance of our life working as it should, even if it's difficult in the face of life's events. No one promised us life was going to be fair or free from disappointment or pain. There is suffering in this life, and we should expect that. However, we don't have to be alone when bad things happen. We can depend on our faith to help us, help give us the strength and courage we need to continue on. As a metaphor for this, there are many images of Jesus carrying sheep around his neck. The passive sheep around Jesus' shoulders has surrendered, given himself over to the shepherd that he trusts will lead and even carry when necessary. If you've ever seen sheep being sheared, you'll know they squirm and are antsy. Sometimes the shearers have to wrestle with them to get them in position, and then when they're done, work hard to push them down the chutes. I know there are times when I've surrendered willingly to let God give me guidance and lead me, sometimes ungraciously, as in, I don't know what to do here, God, so you're going to have to take care of it. And there are other times when I have fought and wiggled against what is happening. I likely always will. Prayer is what we need to get through the tough and good times as well. Why? There are several good things about prayer, whether we do it alone or together, as in the prayers of the people, for example. It puts us in touch with other people who are going through what we are. In history, religious rituals taught people how to share with others in their community the experiences of birth, marriage, death, also the harvest, solstice, and equinox. It was the way in which they shared all the moments of life and not have to face them alone. We can't pray that God will take away all our problems because it won't happen and maybe it shouldn't. After all, if everything was easy, how can we enjoy the good times? But if we pray for the courage and strength to bear bad things when they happen, and the grace to remember that what we have left instead of what we have lost, we can find our prayers answered. Maybe not in the way we expected, but answered. It could be that we tap into deeper reserves of faith and courage than we had than that we hadn't accessed before. In the last three verses of this passage, Paul writes very positive words for us. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Loving God is trusting him and having faith always. Rabbi Kushner referenced a poem by another rabbi, Jack Reimer, and it's a great illustration of this concept, so I will end with these words. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end war, for we know that you have made the world in a way that man must find his own path to peace within himself and with his neighbor. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end starvation, for you have already given us the resources with which to feed the entire world if we would only use them wisely. We cannot pray to you, O God, to root out prejudice, for you have already given us eyes with which to see the good in all men if we would only use them rightly. We cannot pray to you, O God, to end despair, for you have already given us the power to clear away slums and to give hope if we could only use our power justly. We cannot merely pray to you, O God, to end disease, for you have already given us great minds with which to search out cures and healing if we could only use them constructively. Therefore, we pray to you instead, O God, for strength, determination, and willpower to do instead of just to pray, to become instead of merely to wish. For your sake and ours, speedily and soon, that our land and world may be safe and that our lives may be blessed. May the words that we pray and the deeds that we do be acceptable before you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.